Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey guys, I have to tell you about this all-in-one shake that I'm freaking loving. It's called Cachava. I love saying it. It's actually hands down the best thing that I've found to help me get all my essential nutrients into one day. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics. In other words, literally everything that your body craves to feel your best. And I know what you're thinking. Something that good for me cannot possibly taste good. Wrong. That's where Cachava really earns their over 52,000 five-star reviews. It actually tastes freaking amazing. It's very creamy and smooth, and it comes together with just water. And it comes in five delicious flavors. Personally, vanilla and chai are my personal favorites, but it also comes in chocolate, matcha, and coconut acai, which I still need to try. Some people like to drink it as part of a healthy breakfast or lunch, and other people love it as a protein-packed snack before or after a workout. It's really perfect for that because it has 25 grams of plant protein per serving. Personally, I like to add mine to my overnight oats. I add a scoop and I mix it all up to get a little more protein into my oats. And literally, I can have that for breakfast and feel satiated, nourished, beautiful, functioning, all throughout my day. It's incredible. Please send me more of it because I love it so much. It makes me feel very, very good. And guess what, guys? Cachava is offering our listeners 10% off for a limited time. Just go to cachava.com/morbid, spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/morbid. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the US with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the US? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. I love Fast Growing Trees because Drew and I love gardening and stuff like that, but we always forget to run our little errands on the weekend where we go to the nurseries and say, I'd like that tree over there, please. But instead, I can just sit my booty on the couch, type in fastgrowingtrees.com, and get whatever plant I want. I just recently ordered a lemon tree because, mama, when life gives you lemons, you can make lemonade and lots of delicious lemon-flavored desserts, which I'm excited about. And it's going to get to my door in 1 to 2 days, and then I'll have so many lemons. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code MORBID at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code MORBID at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code MORBID. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Hey, weirdos, I'm Ash.
And I'm Elena.
And this is Morbid.
Listener Tales episode.
Brought to you by you, for you, from you, and all about you.
And you know what that means. We are punchy. We are kooky.
We are wilding out.
It is the end of the week when we record Listener Tales, which means we are like just on a space level right now.
On a space level.
Exactly. DJ James Kennedy.
Shout out to him if you want to DJ my wedding. Feel free. No, just kidding. Never mind.
So that would be very chaotic.
It would be like so great. But I actually brought that up to Drew and he was like, well, I feel like then that would be like the celebrity and then like people wouldn't be interested in us. And I was like, you're not wrong, because I'd be pretty fucking stoked if DJ James Kennedy was at somebody else's wedding.
You're like, you know what? I would only care about him too. So that makes sense. Yeah. All right. So it's listener tale time, and I'm pretty excited because it looks like we got a batch of goodies.
I mean, like, what else is new?
I also wanted to mention that a listener sent us a picture of the original Peaky Blinders.
Very cool.
The coolest.
Which one's the one that we feel like we know?
That would be Little Finn.
Why do we know Little Finn, the original? I don't know. He looks, I'm actually staring at him right now because I sent it to Drew and said, who is this? He looks like someone we know.
Yeah, he does. And but wow, it was really cool to see.
Yeah, it's wild. I feel like they did a really good job casting all of them.
Yeah,
too.
They did. They look like remarkably similar.
They do, right?
Like they got Thomas Shelby's like cheekbones. Mm. Is pretty he, perfect. That's Killian.
In the eyes, too.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But that was really cool. I also saw just like one more thing while I was like trolling through the email. Off. Garrett, I'm really sorry that I almost caused you to black out while driving with the Mary Jane Kelly episode of the Jack the Ripper series. I apologize.
Yeah, Alina, you should probably calm down before we are responsible for like vehicular deaths.
Manslaughter of some sort. But you know what? Garrett's okay, guys. Whew. He's okay. They were able to pull over. We're okay. But I had to apologize. Okay. Very sorry, Garrett.
Are you?
I am.
All right.
I am. I swear. Are you?
Yes.
I'm like, no.
No, you love no, to scare not. The pants off of the people.
I do enjoy that.
Pants, but you're out of here.
Without further ado, let's dive in, shall right. we?
Yeah, let's do it. The first one is called Listener Story, but not so weird that you move to New Hampshire and invite strangers into your home with your three babies. They're like a fucking idiot.
Whoa.
I'm excited already.
Let's go.
It says, I'm so excited. To maybe, have you read, Jesus, wow. We're off to a great
we're
start
off
here.
To the races, it's everybody.
Late. It's late. I'm so excited to maybe have you read my story. It's a long one. I'm sorry for that.
Never Don't be.
I stumbled on your podcast about a year ago, and now when I turn it on, it's like catching up with old friends. Comforting and feel good.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you. Love you, ladies.
We love you.
We love you.
What a coincidence.
I know. Like, look at us here, just vibing and
just
loving.
Just a love fest.
It says, I was born and raised in an ultra high demand religion and finally got out about 1.5 years ago.
Good for you.
I know. Congrats. My husband and I and our three little boys, 2, 4, and 6.
Oh, the cutest ages.
We love it.
Wow.
We're living in, surprise, surprise, Utah. As soon as I left the church, I knew we had to leave. My husband is an air traffic controller and got picked up at a faculty, nope, it's called facility. A facility, at a facility in super southern New Hampshire super quick.
Hey.
I was extra excited because we were moving to the land of morbid.
That's right. We're waving at you right now.
Hello.
Hello over there.
Hello from MA. We bought a gorgeous home in the middle of the woods on some property.
Oh, get it.
Love it. The boys and I ended up flying out alone a few weeks before my husband as he had to finish out his contract. The boys and I took a red eye and it was holy fucking shit awful.
You did that with ages 2, 4, and 6. You should have a statue erected in your honor.
I wouldn't even want to do that by myself. So
my goodness.
Wow.
My goodness. Like hats off to you.
For real. That's
for real.
That's some icon shit right Jeez. There. Regardless, pulling in, we were all ecstatic. The only problem, which ended up being a huge problem, was that I hadn't researched the political climate in the town. Because New Hampshire is a swing state, I assumed a lot.
Yeah.
Bad choice. Yeah.
I was waiting for that.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, we moved into the most conservative town around. We put up our pride flag.
Oh, no.
And it was ripped down and shredded in the same night. You know what? Fuck people.
Who, if you ever do that, you're a piece of shit.
And here's the thing.
Like anybody's flag.
That's exactly what that I was just going to say. Yeah,
that goes the same on the other. Like, don't destroy people's property.
No.
Don't do it. It's shitty to do.
Why are you that upset about what somebody else is doing?
And especially a pride flag?
Right. Like, I'm not going to your house and taking down your flags.
It just doesn't make sense to me. It's like, that is not going against anybody.
No.
It's just being like, love.
It's actually celebrating literally everybody.
It's all encompassing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just really shitty. I'm sorry that happened to you.
So am I. In short, I was a little on edge being alone in the woods, and especially after that happening, I'm sure.
Of course.
With my three tiny boys and everyone knowing the bleeding heart liberals moved into their little town.
It's a little scary.
I admire you, though. Like,
come on over to Mass.
Yeah, come on over.
Come on over.
Just kidding. I decided as a gift to myself for keeping everyone alive and happy to hire someone to come detail our car.
Good for you.
Oh my God, that sounds super pathetic. I'm old.
No, you're amazing and I get it.
No, I get that because Drew actually details cars and having your car detailed is just a luxurious experience.
I love when Drew details my car.
Drew details TM.
It's an experience.
It's TM. He's so good at it. I got the town's Facebook group and posted for suggestions. A guy messaged me with a great price and we scheduled a date. I'm already so nervous.
Oh no.
The day he scheduled, he was arrive Oh my God.
You can do it.
I don't know. The day he scheduled, he was to arrive at 9 a.m. He didn't show up until 3 because, quote, his truck had broken down.
It's a little all different. Right,
cool, whatever, things happen. When he got there, I chatted with him for a bit, and he showed me some crazy crash pictures of the vehicle. It struck me kind of odd that he had been in a huge wreck today and had still come over. No bumps or bruises either. And my naive little shit for brain self thought, he's devoted. I went inside to attend to babies, and I hear a knock. He tells me our water spigot outside isn't working. I told him I didn't know where that was, and he said he could go find it.
I'd be like, I don't know how to tell you.
This is where it gets embarrassing. I fucking let him in.
Oof.
He goes downstairs to the unfinished basement, and I stand at the bottom of the stairs waiting for him. Like a fucking idiot, I let him out of my sight. He's chatting with me, as I mentioned. Guys, it feels like I have no common sense at all here. I get that.
You know what? In the moment,
you have three children under the age of 10. Things get chaotic and things fall by the wayside.
Exactly. And you're here. So that means that it worked out okay.
It worked out, yeah. So they mentioned that their husband wouldn't be home for a couple days. He comes back around eventually to the stairs and says the water should be on. He goes back outside and I go back to babies. A few hours go by and it's getting dark. He's still outside, and the alarming part is that I never actually see him cleaning anything. It's a fleeting thought, but I move on feeding and putting babies to bed. After, I go check on him and he's literally standing there doing nothing. Just probably taking a break, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I chat for a second and I tell him I'm gonna go to bed. It's pretty late. I ask him just to let me know when he leaves so I can close the garage and lock up. And then it's the like wiggly, like,
it's like the
face. He texts me at fucking 10 p.m.
What?
Guys, my car wasn't even that dirty. 7 hours?
No.
7 hours? Honey, Drew will get it done in one.
Yeah, he's got it.
And then he tells me he didn't finish, so he has to come back tomorrow. I'd be like, I'll find someone else, thanks. I was officially on edge. He sends me his Venmo, and yep, like a fucking lunatic, I Venmo him and tip him. Like no, you know what? That speaks to my soul, though, because I would do that same
yes,
shit.
Yes, you would.
I'm always, like, tipping people this for things Ash. I didn't like. Like, thank you so much for the horrible job. Yay.
You're great.
Trying your best. I love your shirt.
This is so real.
I wake up in the morning, and the boys and I go out to my car so we can run to the store. It's dead.
Oh.
My car's not even 2 years old.
Oh, what did he do to your car?
I start to get panicky.
Yep.
I try it again and all the check engine shit, etc. turns on. I notice there's a light in the very back left on too. Probably an accident.
No.
Everything's fine. Right?
No.
I text him and ask him to please hurry back because I'm stuck out here alone in the woods with my kids and without a car.
Oh, no.
I look around inside and literally nothing has changed. Nothing's been wiped or vacuumed.
Because he just pulled apart the inside of your car.
Yeah, he detailed something. He actually de-detailed.
Yeah, he did.
I'm extra nervous now. What has he been doing for 7 fucking hours too? He doesn't show up again until 3.
What is he doing until 3 every day?
Fucking
ruining other people's cars?
What's it called when you're like plotting evil shit?
Just
plotting evil shit?
I was going to say plotting evil shit.
No, it starts with a D. Da.
Is he like diabolical?
No, I don't know. My brain's a weird place.
I don't know.
They're fuming. It is. It definitely is. They're fuming. I see him drive in and I stop to tell him I'm taking the boys for a walk. Please just jump it and finish it. When we get back, he's digging around the back of his truck. He looks up and says his wife and kids will be by for a visit.
You're not hanging out.
Oh yeah, you want some fucking lemonade?
Seriously.
I tell him, all right, and we go inside. I assumed he meant to visit him, but also, why the fuck was he still here?
Why?
Not too long after that, I hear a knock on the door. I open it up to him and his wife and child.
What?
I say, hi, and stand there awkwardly. He says, well, are you going to let them in? I abso-fucking-lutely panic. I tell him, oh, sure, of course. And they all walk in. He immediately says, I have to go to the store, and then leaves.
What?
Guys, the nearest store is 25 minutes away.
What is happening?
His wife and toddler are standing there awkwardly, and I'm just having heart palpitations.
Oh my God.
I ask if he'd like to come play with some toys in the toy room. She slowly follows, saying a few words. I've tried to make small talk, and it was a no. So fucking awkward. An hour passes, and this creepy fucking guy is still not back. She's kind of pacing, and I'm getting more and more freaked out.
Oh no.
Finally, she stands up. She doesn't say anything and walks out outside, leaving her kid.
I was just going to say, she doesn't know you.
Yeah. I panic. A few minutes go by and she walks back into the house. Sits down on the couch, doesn't say a word about it. My oldest, who's autistic, has a freak out. He probably can feel how fucking weird all this bullshit is. And I go attend to him upstairs for a few minutes, leaving her downstairs on the main level. Alone, with a lot of crying out loud
There's
emojis.
There's a lot of crying out loud emojis.
Just like yelling. After he calms down, I go back downstairs and I've had enough. I tell her I don't want to be rude, but I don't really know why she's here or why her husband is at the store or still cleaning my car because it's been like 12 hours at this point.
Oh my God.
I tell her I need to feed my kids dinner. She gathers her kid and his coat, and it takes 30 minutes for her to
what?
Do so. Why? She finally walks out. And she sits in my fucking driveway in her car for another 30 minutes. Girlfriend, I love you, but why didn't you call the police?
I was
going
to say, I'm going to be honest. I would have called the police at this point and been like, you need to take care of this.
Probably in the stress of the moment and all the children. But like future reference, that's if you're thing, ever in a situation children. Like this, call the police.
Yeah, just let them deal with it. Bye.
Whew, I'm so stressed out. I'm losing my mind at this point. She finally drives away and I'm still full on fucking panicking. It's too much weird. The guy isn't back yet, so I run out to my car. It's still running.
What?
He had left it running for hours and it was nearly out of gas. Girlfriend, he did that on purpose.
Oh my God.
And all the check engine shit was still on. I'm like, I can't believe I'm reading this right now.
I'm
this
so
is so
glad
stressful.
I'm so glad we're reading this, meaning
you're alive.
You are alive to tell this story because if I was watching this in like a movie, I'd be like, oh no.
They're all going to
die.
This
is not going to be good at the end.
I'd call my sister sobbing. I would too. And you would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
What are you doing?
She tells me to get all his cleaning shit out of that car that he actually never used and to go put it at the end of the driveway. I do that and then text him telling him it's all good, doesn't need to come back and quote unquote clean. I left your stuff out for you. He texts me back with some weird, oh, I'm so sad you don't want me to finish. You sure? Nope, fuck off, creep.
Finish? You didn't even begin.
Like, you haven't even started. I go inside and my brain is running a million miles per second. He knows my husband isn't here. I've already paid him. His creepy wife was wandering around my house. She was alone. Why have I been so stupid? I think to go check all the locks on the main floor. Locked. And then I remember he was in the basement. I run downstairs. The basement windows are all ajar. One smashed in from either side, so I can't even close it. I can't even close it now. I had checked everything the day we moved in. It was all new.
Oh my God.
I run back up and gather the boys trying to figure out what to do. I get a wild hair and Google this dude's name.
Oh no.
His mugshot pops up. Evading arrest. Repeat. Offender.
Oh, no.
I am full down meltdown. A full blown meltdown. Oh, my poor kids. I get my purse and the kids and we walked to our nearest neighbors. I tell them what happened and they call the cops.
Thank you.
Cops come and check all the doors and windows, taking pictures of the ones in the basement. He takes a statement and they set up a patrol for the night. My neighbor lends me a handgun for the night and I sit up holding it all fucking night long. My neighbor texts me at one point and lets me know they saw a white truck. The one he had crashed was a white truck. And they saw it driving back and forth in front of our driveway. I called the cops and they came back and we filled out a no trespassing order. My husband arrived the next day and I fucking lost it. A few weeks later, he pulled up next to us at the gas station. And then a few weeks after that, he pulled up next to me after I had just parked in a Walmart parking lot. 35 minutes outside of town.
No.
He's fucking everywhere. Wait, this is the end? Haven't seen him in a while now. And we have a Ring alarm system. And I'm not a naive little shit anymore. I remember thinking, Jesus, fuck, we're going to be murdered. And Elena and Ash are going to tell our story.
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty glad you didn't have to.
Oh, my goodness.
Girl.
That was so stressful.
And he's just, like, living out there right now? Hua?
I want to help. I don't know what to do. I feel very helpless
this
right now.
This is why I don't go to New Hampshire.
I was this just going to exactly say, like,
any time, and the next person that asks me to go to New Hampshire, I'm going to tell them listener tales, 47 question mark, I think. Listen to the first story. I'm never going back to New Hampshire again, ever.
Wow.
What?
Wow, that story was harrowing.
I'm so scared.
And it feels ongoing.
It
and
didn't
I wanted
have
to
an
end.
Ending.
It did not.
The
have
ending,
an ending
was he's everywhere
I hate
and not
that.
In a Michelle Branch kind of way.
I hate that.
Oh my God! Turn it inside out so I can see ya.
I can't. This is like very stressful.
Oh my God! We gotta go. We have to move on to the next
one. We gotta move on. I'm so glad that you're okay. Please
and I
be
hope
careful.
You continue to be okay.
Please be careful. Like, I hope your neighbors are looking out for. Move to Massachusetts.
You can, like, okay. It's not even that far.
Oh, man. Oh, man. That was, like, a lot.
That was harrowing.
But that was very harrowing.
I didn't know the definition of harrowing until that point.
And this is
and
it.
And then I lived it.
This is it.
In that moment. Oh, my gosh.
Out.
We love you. Take care of yourself.
Whew. Okay. Well, this next one is entitled Hello, or it's not entitled anything, just listener tales.
Yes.
It says, hello, weirdos. I'm very thrown off by that.
It says, hello, most amazing weirdos.
Oh, well, I'm
oh,
waiting
didn't
for
open the
email
yet. Sorry.
If you do decide to read the attached story, I promise I won't shit my pants, but I may faint. LOL. And it says, here's a picture of the psycho in the story. It's his booking pic, as I don't have any pictures of this dude. Now, who wouldn't be attracted to that? Rolling on the floor laughing.
Brothel.
He looks a little scary, so I'm pretty scared to read this.
I'm so scared.
Hello, most amazing weirdos. I've been listening to your podcast almost religiously since discovering it about a year ago and have been completely enthralled from the first minute.
Thank you
so much. That was really nice. I have become great at finding excuses to bypass yard work or housework and listening to Morbid instead. I'm sure it's much better choice.
It
I
is.
I think so. I previously sent this story in, but now there's more to tell.
Ooh.
Heck, I might possibly one day be featured on an ID channel episode as things are getting scary.
Is that
oh, no.
the theme of this fucking episode?
Oh my God. Deb, what have you done with these?
Deb.
You better give us a reprieve here.
Deb, did you reach out to these people?
Ooh. All right. It says, here we go. I ask that you don't use my name. I will not.
We shall not.
As this case is still pending, and I have enough gossip going around about my life as it is. So no, I
never,
hate people.
Never enough gossip.
I live in a very small town in Utah.
Whoa.
Population is... Oh, it's a Utah episode. Population is around 3,600, which is huge compared to a few years ago.
Wow.
Needless to say, pretty much everyone knows everything. Everyone knows everyone around here. And they also know your business, whether it's true or made up by the gossip mongers. I am a single mom, and my daughter and granddaughter both live with me.
Aw. Oh, I love that.
I love that. Money is tight, but we always made things work. So in June of 2020, we had a windstorm that took out my back fence. Now, this is no small event, as my backyard is a good-sized piece of property, and my backyard also faces the state highway. My fence was a six-foot-tall wooden fence that blocked my life from the rest of the world.
Great
oh, that
fence.
Sucks.
That's ideal.
That it fell down.
I know.
As it turned out, the insurance would only, of course, give me a fraction of the money it would cost to replace the fence, and I couldn't afford to get it fixed. That's bullshit.
Whenever that shit happens, I'm like, why do I have insurance even?
The insurance? Ugh.
It's you know, have you ever seen the lady on TikTok that's like, name things that are a scam, that
yeah,
like nobody
insurance.
Tells you is a scam?
All insurance. Thus, the ducks, geese, and chickens in my backyard were having a lovely time causing havoc on the highway
oh, no.
and risking life and wing on a daily basis. Yes, I am a true hick and love the country life.
Okay, but I want animals
I love it.
Too. I feel you.
After several weeks, one of the local good old boys, we'll call him Bob, stated that he would be happy to help repair my fence using the materials that could be salvaged and only buying what was necessary to at least get the fence standing upright again. That sounds nice.
It does, but people are never nice.
Well, that's what's upsetting. About this.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a genuinely nice thing.
Yeah, you can't trust
But
niceties.
You can't even trust that because
no.
people are such shit.
No. Mm. And if somebody was like, oh, I'm willing to do this and like not like get paid
yeah.
at all, I'd
and
be
you're
like,
oh, I don't trust that shit. Yeah, it sucks. Like, what happened to society? Are we all okay? The answer is no. I would use the insurance money to buy what was needed and we would split what money was left. This would help me and him.
Aww.
I was grateful and agreed. The deal was made. I do need to mention that Bob is close to 10 years older than me, in his early 60s, and not in the best of health. Not to mention that he is constantly intoxicated, starting the morning with whiskey in his coffee, breaking out the beer by 10 a.m., and never stopping until he goes home to bed. Now, let me be clear that I knew this about Bob, as does the whole town. However, he was always a happy drunk and never did any harm to anyone, that I know of, and it seemed like a win-win for all involved. I get it. So we buy some material, and Bob starts working on the fence. It took him over 2 months, and the job was sketchy, to say the least. During this time, I saw him almost every day, and after I was done working, we would often visit for a while and have a beer. In my mind, no big deal, just being friendly. Until the day he asked me out and wanted to try a relationship, to which my answer was a definite no. To back up, I have a pretty rough track record in the relationship department and have been single now for 5+ years. I have no interest in going down that path again. I have often told family that I would rather be known as, quote, the crazy old cat lady and than to ever have a relationship again.
Aww.
I'm sorry that you've gone through so much.
I know, me too.
To be clear, I'm not really fond of cats.
Listen, neither was I until I got them, and now I'm a crazy cat lady.
I'm not either. I only like Ash's cats, but I love that you want to be a crazy old cat lady with no cats. At first, Bob seemed fine with my answer, and that was the end of that. Until the night before I left on a trip with my group of friends, Bob came over and asked if he could go with me on the trip. I told him no, and that this trip had been planned for over a year. He came a bit unhinged and informed me that he had been following me for weeks and watching me with binoculars and even through the scope on his rifle.
Bye, Bob.
What? Bob stated that he knew I was seeing someone, and that is why I didn't want to be with him. Of course, this was not true, but I was instantly angry and a bit freaked out to hear that he had been spying on me for weeks.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I told him to leave me alone and went in my house and locked the doors.
Good.
The next morning, I left on my trip, and my phone began ringing constantly. He quickly filled my voicemail with very upsetting messages.
Why is it that, like, certain men just cannot be let down?
That's, and it's really funny because John and I were watching Peaky Blinders the other night.
Wait, you watched that?
We watched that. And at one point, and I'm sure anybody who's watched Peaky Blinders, we're in season one. At some point, they'll know what I'm talking about. John goes, geez, that guy really can't handle rejection. And I looked at him and I was like,
most can.
And he was like, all right. And I was like, I'm not talking about you.
No, you are not like, most.
I was like, exception to the rule, my friend. But
dude,
it's true. It happens way more often than not that you say no, and that is not good enough.
Do you remember the fucking guy that showed up to my work when I was like, yeah. We had never even gone on a date.
Yes. Yeah, it's a lot. So this is terrible. Filled my voicemail with very upsetting messages. I blocked his number and he continued to call a total of 416 times in one day.
What?
His messages stated that he was following us on our trip.
What?
Or that he was going to sabotage my car while I was gone and he knew where it was.
Also, I love that because like you're not going to bring that to the police and be like, hello, here's what he plans to do.
Here's perfect evidence. But then again, these things happen and the police end up being like, sorry, we can't do anything until he violently assaults you. Yeah. So if that happens, let us know and we'll try to make sure it doesn't happen again, but we can't guarantee.
And you might be dead.
And you might be dead at that point. So like,
bye.
Well, it's a real catch-22 here, but like, let's all see how this shakes out.
Unreal.
That's always how it goes.
Unreal.
Ugh. So the next day, I received a text from a number I didn't recognize. Of course, it was Bob. His text stated that he had, quote, done something to my car, and if I didn't call him, I shouldn't drive it when I got home, or it would end badly.
I'd be like, okay, then I won't drive it. Fuck off, Bob.
Yeah, fuck off into the sun, Bob. He continued calling and messaging me from this new number, which I also blocked. Later that same day, I received a text from one of his kids. This man has kids? She apologized to me and informed me that he was using his deceased wife's phone to call me.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That was totally sickening.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
He told me that she took the phone from him and it wouldn't happen again.
Oh, I hate that she even has to do that.
That is sad. The next afternoon, I received a call from my sister who was very upset. Bob had started calling her and threatening her to get her to call me.
What?
I assured her that I was fine and I would handle it when I got home. We were in another state at the time. When the trip ended and I was back home, my car seemed fine. I called the local police department and reported the telephone harassment. Good job. An officer showed up at my house and looked at the calls and texts. His solution was, oh, it's just Bob. I'll go talk to him and it'll be fine.
I'd be like, yeah, he called me 416 times, texted me from his deceased wife's phone, fucked with my car, and fucked with my sister. So you're going to do a whole lot more than just go talk to fucking Bob, buddy.
But they won't.
No, they won't. But I would say that shit. No, but I wouldn't actually. Not. I would say that shit like after the cop left in my own home by myself.
Into the mirror. You would say
I'd be like, God damn it. This is what you should have said, Ash.
You would wake up at 2 a.m. and be like, no, you will not.
The way that I actually do that.
That happens to me too. Yep. I think we're all in this together, guys. But they write, so Officer Barney Fife talks to Bob and tells him to leave me alone. Yeah, that's going to work. Ugh. Bob is driving by my house constantly and begins shooting at my house with a BB gun. and flinging rocks with a slingshot.
Oh, I would strangle this man.
I reported the first few incidents, and again, he gets a stern talking to by the local officers.
Fucking do something.
I was forced to install three security cameras in the back of my home to prove it was Bob doing these things. When I would show footage to the police, they would say that it wasn't definite enough.
Wow.
Finally, they did cite him for telephone harassment and told him to never contact me again. Bob's response sends me flowers with a message that he still wants to talk to me. I reported this to the police and again get the, he's just a good old boy. He doesn't mean any harm. What?
No, he does mean harm. He said he meant harm.
Who gives a shit about the good old boy bullshit? Ugh. Again, things escalate. I don't know how many times I called in a report, but the total damage at the time was two broken windows in my house, windshield shattered on my daughter's truck, a goose with a broken wing, no. And several small dings from rocks hitting my car.
He went to fucking animal cruelty over this?
This guy's a piece of shit.
Also, why do you want to be with somebody this badly? That wants nothing to do with you. And you think that this is the way to make it happen?
This is straight up, like, imbalanced.
It is.
One day, when I was out in the yard tending to the crazy winged creatures, he drove by and flung a rock with the slingshot that nearly hit me in the head. Now my granddaughter plays in this yard. Trampoline, swing set, kids' pool, etc. Now we are afraid to let her back there. Oh, I hate that you are going through this.
That's so fucked.
I should also state that on one occasion, I stated to the officer that they could arrest him for drinking and driving, to which the response was, oh, it's only five. He's probably not that drunk yet.
Yeah, let's just wait until he kills someone.
Are these, like, get the fuck out of here. These officers suck.
I'm about to drive to your town.
I was so angry and truly amazed at this that I had no response. I finally had a different officer show up. We'll call him Dudley Do-Right. Okay, I'm feeling better about this one.
Me too.
And he took things seriously. He gathered all the information and forwarded it to the district attorney and got a stalking injunction against Bob. He also hauled good old boy Bob in for some serious questioning. Yay for Dudley Do-Right.
Woo.
With the stalking injunction in place, Bob is no longer allowed to have firearms for 3 years. For 3 years. Yeah. Only 3 years.
The justice system.
This enraged him to no end. Finally, one afternoon on one of his drive-by events, Bob didn't see my adult daughter in the yard and hit her in the leg with a rock as it ricocheted off the side of the house. Again, we file a complaint and the chief of police shows up to take a report. He was not too happy about having to arrest one of the local yokel good old drunk boys and tried to dissuade us from moving forward. You're an asshole, sir.
Yeah, get fucked.
He kept asking my daughter, are you sure you want to testify?
Yeah, I do.
Now, my daughter is one hardcore badass, to say the least, and she was not back down.
Hell yeah.
Bob gets taken in for breaking the stalking injunction and assault. Of course, the next morning he bailed out and things just got worse. In truth, things got so uncomfortable that my daughter and granddaughter moved 2 hours away, which truly broke my heart. Aww. They are back home again now.
Oh, good. Good.
First, Bob filed a small claims court case against me stating that I never paid him for the fence and that I owed him almost double what the original amount was.
My God.
I was forced to go to court and prove my case, which I had everything to do this, including pictures of my crappy fence. After that, things went quiet for a few days. Then my sister starts getting calls from Bob. He filled her voicemail and started calling her house phone. Yes, she still has one of those. Now my messages are getting extremely violent. Bob stated that he had a bunch of boys that were going to kill me. My friends that I took a trip with, my daughter and my granddaughter. Let's go get Bob.
Oh yeah, everybody. Are you ready for
Let's go fucking get
the
Bob.
The next sentence, I'm going on a plane right now to get Bob.
He stated clearly that if I didn't speak to him, he would kill my granddaughter slowly and painfully. Let's go.
Bob has no idea we're gonna Peaky Blinders this shit.
I've been
allegedly watching
the shit out of Peaky Blinders.
We're allegedly coming to help.
Allegedly.
Fuck you, Bob.
I was enraged.
Yeah.
I was shaking with fear and anger. How dare you threaten an innocent little girl? Bob, you piece of
my
fucking
God.
Shit.
I'm not a violent person, but this would induce some serious fucking violence. Alina says, I am a monster.
How dare you threaten an innocent little girl?
Seriously.
Bob then left a message stating he was going to blow Officer Dudley Do-Right's head off and shoot one of the other local officers' knees out.
Hobby, Bob.
Dear cops, are you ready to get him now?
Yeah,
now that
he's coming for you?
When we reported these calls previously, nothing was really done about it. However, when we reported that officers' lives were now being threatened, then shit got real.
That would infuriate me.
I'd be like, honestly, get fucked.
Yeah.
Get fucked.
Get fizzity, fizzity, fooked.
An officer came to the house and got a copy of all the voicemails. Wow, suddenly they're on it.
Yeah.
Every officer in town, okay, there's only four, plus in the surrounding little communities were looking for Bob. They finally found him on a back road, drunk as a skunk and with weapons. Ooh. And so the standoff began.
And remember, he's not supposed to have weapons for three years.
Bob, still threatening to kill me and my family, was also threatening to kill all the officers. At this point, they had 18 officers involved in the standoff and called in a sniper from one of the bigger cities.
Jesus.
Bob also threatened to blow up the whole town and kill himself. 12 hours into the standoff, about 4 in the morning, Bob runs up into the hills and they lose him.
They have a fucking sniper. How do you lose him?
Again, what? I should explain that a little tiny community like this does not have police dogs or helicopters to assist in these things, and the mountainous area he ran into is very large, dense, and has steep cliffs. I was informed that they were calling off the search and sending an officer to escort me to a safe house until he was found.
So this motherfucker just gets to blow up your whole fucking life and disappear into the mountains?
With any luck, I hope that he found himself lost in those dense woods and then ran...
And hungry.
Ran straight...
Into a black bear.
And then the ground ended. Whoop.
Kaboom.
Just saying. I turned that down and went to stay with a family member instead. Bob was not taken into custody until after 4 p.m. the following day, and he was found about 3 blocks from my home.
Oh my God.
This all happened mid-June 2021. Bob is currently being held in the local jail awaiting trial or for the attorneys to come up with a deal.
He better not get one.
He has multiple charges against him, including aggravated attempted murder. This due to the fact that he almost ran over 4 of the officers during the standoff. None of these new charges have anything to do with what he did to me and my family. Of course they don't. That has all been put on the back burner for now. I live with a great deal of fear that they will allow him some have bail at some point, but so far this hasn't happened. I've since been informed that he had not only alcohol in his system, but was out of his mind with drugs, including meth, and had paraphernalia and drugs in his truck.
Oh, no.
I should let you know that I'm insanely naive to anything about drugs. According to the people I've talked to, Bob dabbled in drugs when he was younger, but apparently started using again because I, quote, broke his heart.
But boo you didn't
fucking who?
You didn't do anything. You just said, no, I don't want to go on a date with you. And he has no fucking idea about your previous dating history and what you've experienced. He's just a fucking narcissist who's upset that you don't want to date him.
And
you
also,
didn't do shit.
You have nothing to do with what somebody else decides to do.
No, he didn't start doing anything again because of you.
No.
He started doing it because he made a decision.
Exactly. You said no. You were clear.
And everybody
you
has
have
that right.
Autonomy. You are allowed to say no to things. And that is not causing anyone to do anything. And no. If they try to claim that, they're a bullshit liar. And we can all say poo to them.
Poo-poo on you.
Poo. I've never been involved in anything like this before, and let me tell you, I felt like it was a Lifetime movie.
Same.
Especially when they asked me to talk to Bob during the standoff and try to talk him into giving himself up.
Oh my God.
I did agree to do this, but all it did was infuriate him more, even though he had told the police that he would turn himself in if they would let him talk to me. My God. I truly feel that if my complaints had been taken more seriously in the beginning, yep, things would not have escalated to the point they did.
How many more stories do we need with that sentence in them, though?
For real. Stalking and harassment need to be taken way more seriously. I agree.
Yep.
I am grateful that me, my family, my friends, and the officers are, for now, safe and sound. Now, here's the update. After a year of monthly hearings, Bob's and his attorney accepted a plea deal.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I am not happy with the deal. They dropped all 4 first-degree felonies and made 1 second-degree felony.
Wow.
Of the 13-plus misdemeanors, they dropped everything and left 1 Class A misdemeanor. He has a sentencing hearing in less than a month. At this time, he has already served all his time for the misdemeanor, and there's a very good chance of him being released on parole.
Wow.
Are you fucking kidding me? Through all of this, he has never accepted any responsibility and still, even in court, blames me for everything.
Yeah, it's always your fault.
If he, God forbid, gets out, I could be the next missing woman on the news. I live with this fear every day.
Oh,
I want to take this from you.
I do too.
Well, sorry for the story being so long and that I am not the best writer / storyteller.
You are.
I'm so happy I found your podcast and love listening to your stories. Thanks for your time. And as always, keep it weird. Wow.
Oh
My God. Guys, are you trying
what to, is like, going on ruin here? Us?
I'm so sorry that you guys have are not only have gone through these things, but are still currently experiencing them.
For real. Like, man.
Well, we've got something to soothe our woes.
I hope so.
Because this listener tale is, you can't trust my grandfather with your music demos because he will deliver them to you while you and your family are serving time for murder.
All right, you're going to have to explain this one.
And that they will. Hello, my lovely weirdos. My name is Anya. You can use it.
I love that name.
And I genuinely cannot express how much I fucking love you guys.
I fucking love you too, Anya.
I have always wanted older siblings, and now I feel like I have two. Yes, you are my parasocial relationships. Deal with it.
Glad to be here.
We all have them. I'm so happy that we're yours. I would give my left leg to meet you guys in real life.
You don't have
to. Which is saying a lot because I'm a dancer and my left leg is actually my good leg.
Keep them.
Keep them. You don't have to do that. And also, I feel like I don't even know if we're that fun to meet.
I feel like we're probably not.
We're I'm just like,
I'm very lame.
I'm lame as well. You've like made me lamer, but you it's because we're old.
That's what I'm here for.
I love you. Anyways, enough with my gushy wooshy fan talk. Let's get on with my story. Or stories, excuse me. I have two because I couldn't decide which to send in. And I'm sorry if it's too long. Yes, I do have to apologize. I'm an anxious Libra, okay? But I won't tell you to shorten it because I know you won't.
No way.
Never be sorry and we'll never shorten. My first story is about my grandfather who told us this after he told the media.
Wow.
Granted, it happened like 3 months before I was born, but he still could have told my mom. Okay, bitch, move on with it.
No, we would never say that. They did.
Okay, so basically my grandfather, who I will call David since he's literally in the public eye already, was a rock musician in the 60s with a band called, should I say it if we're not saying his name?
Let's say a different name.
It's a... day. So my grandmother, so my grandmother, before they got divorced, but that's a whole other story that we will not be sharing today. Before that, David was in the process of forming a band called Orchestra. Yep.
There you go.
With a group of stoners that he was chill with. That didn't work out. But one of the band members, Bobby, did keep all of their demos. Ah. I love like music talk kind of stories.
It is kind of fun. Also, it's thundering outside.
Yeah, the fuck it is.
So I hope you guys hear it because who doesn't love a thunderstorm?
Spooky. Thunder.
Let's go.
A few months after the band broke up and he started the band with my grandmother. Oh, they did that band together.
Yeah.
That's cool.
They were in that band. They were making sweet, sweet tunes together.
They were an American band.
Exactly.
He was walking by the place where the Grateful Dead would rehearse. They were friends somehow. Oh, okay. And he ran into Bobby, the guy from the band. Bobby introduced him to his friend Charlie, who he would be going to California with, and then asked David if he could do him a favor and store some boxes for him. Huh. David said he would, and he took them.
I'm sorry. We're all understanding that Charlie and family and music demos in California.
I'm getting it.
Yep. We're seeing a little bit of a web connecting.
I think that's why I'm reading it.
And you didn't even realize.
No, I felt it cooking in my head.
That's what I mean, like, this was, like, drawn to you.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Like, that wasn't even in the thing.
Wow.
I'm actually really excited.
Wow.
Years later, in 2002, David decided to open the box, and he found a bunch of tapes in them. He looked at the labels and found the old demos from Orchestra, along with some that were personal demos that Bobby and Charlie made together. David decided to hunt down Bobby and gave him his tapes back. But that became a little bit difficult when he remembered that Bobby was in prison. Bobby's last name? Oh, yeah. It was Bobby Busoley.
Whoa.
And Charlie?
It was Charlie Manson. Wow.
David decided this was irrelevant and visited Bobby in prison to give him his tapes.
David decided this was irrelevant.
He said, Charlie like Manson, irrelevant.
I don't know her.
Anytime someone says that, I get the image in my mind.
I don't know her.
Later, in an interview, he shared that he was excited about this because Bobby and his little prison friends were putting out the Orchestra album.
Wow.
David was so excited. He was kicking his little legs around, and he sounded like he was about to have a sparky big time all over the fucking place. Ma'am, this is your grandfather.
This is so much.
He was supposed to go on TV to talk about it a little bit later on, but when he got to the set, they said, sorry, Dave, we can't do this today. Michael Jackson just died.
Oh, that's a tough hit.
David was no longer kicking his legs with glee, to say the least. Nobody really listened to the album either. Can't say I blame them.
Woof.
Anyway, that's my story on how my grandfather knew the Manson family. What? Oh, He was also roommates with Bobby at one point. Forgot that part.
Just forgot that.
I'm not editing or proofreading this, so I'm sorry about anything that doesn't make any fucking sense. If you guys want another listener tale about my creepy-ass haunted university, I would love to send you another story.
Please do. Always do.
I will end with my keep it weird ramble. Keep it weird, but not so weird that you had contact with the Manson family at all, but especially that you were willing to visit a fucking murderer and not your newborn granddaughter, or that you actually put out an album with said murderer and go on TV and talk about it but get outshined by another musician as usual. P.S. My grandparents have played with Alice Cooper and Ike and Tina Turner. Yeah, I'm just sharing this to brag. I think I deserve it.
Wow, you definitely do. You holy shit. You
do.
You are amazing.
That was incredible.
Wow.
I love that.
That was not what I expected it to be.
And for future reference, we want all the stories.
We want all the stories.
Give me more. Give me.
I can't sing the rest.
Give me all the stories.
All right, so the next one that I'm going to... Did you guys hear that?
Did you hear that clap?
I don't know if it picked it up, but it was a good one.
Wait. Oh, I thought it was still going.
No. Wait.
I was like, hold on.
We're like, we're going to make you listen to thunder.
I hope there's like a crazy one that's like, kaboom!
Like a crazy clap.
Like that commercial where like if you fell in the grocery store, you're entitled ba-bam. To compensation.
Ba-bam! You know, I those like TV attorneys, the best.
Yeah.
So the next one I'm going to read is how my first real paycheck got me a ride in a police cruiser.
Oh, no.
Sounds great.
I think my first real paycheck was like $40.
All of us.
Yeah.
I love your podcast and I've been listening for years. In fact, when I wake up at some good godforsaken early hour of the morning, I'll frequently turn on an old favorite episode of yours to help me catch another hour or so of snoozing. Not that you're boring, just that the show feels so comfortable and cozy.
Cozy.
I think this qualifies me as a grade A weirdo.
It does.
I love that people think it's cozy and comfortable because I have comfort cozy things and I'm like, yeah. Wow, I'm that for someone. That's like really cool.
That's cool. I don't think I'm comforting to most people. So
I feel like you are.
You are.
I attempted to send this listener tale to you a while ago, but given the amount of liquid courage I needed to type it out and share it, I may have failed to actually hit send and or typed in the email address incorrectly. It has now been edited with a clear head, so I figured I'd give it another try. But if you did receive it previously and just haven't gotten to it yet, please throw out that first draft. It's definitely not as good as this pitifa. Enjoy and keep it weird. Betsy, feel free to use my name.
I love that name. Also, I also love your dog.
I was just gonna say your puppy is amazing.
I love when their little tongue hangs out the side of their mouth like that.
So this story starts on a warm California day in early October 2006.
Oh, warm in October? No.
No, thank you. It's California, you know?
I know.
I was 4 days into the job that I planned to make my career, thus making my first real job in my mind. On this particular morning, my husband had left on a 5-day business trip, so I was feeling a bit apprehensive about being alone, home alone all week, but trying to keep a bright outlook. When I arrived at work, my supervisor passed out our paychecks. Since I had started with only 2 days left at the end of the pay period, so it wasn't much of a check, but I was still excited because it was my first paycheck that didn't come from a student job. After a perfectly normal workday, I stopped at the gym, like I typically did, but cut my workout. Get your fitness on.
Cardio.
I typically did, but cut my workout short because I wanted to stop at the ATM on the way home to get my check in the bank. Yes, I realize how nerdy this sounds, but I was super excited to finally have a job that I loved, and I'm about that nerd life.
I feel you.
It was still fairly light out when I pulled into the supermarket parking lot where the ATM nearest to my house was located. The lot wasn't necessarily busy, but it certainly wasn't deserted. At this time, I drove a 1990 Nissan that had some irritating issues, the worst being that the locks would frequently refuse to accept that my key was correct. I parked towards the middle of the lot, stepped out of the car, and spent a good minute or two trying to get my damn door locked. Just as this bitch finally gave in and locked, I took a step back to turn towards the market and felt something press into my back.
Nope, 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 nope.
I turned my head to see what I had possibly backed into and found myself looking at a hand holding a gun, the muzzle pressed into my ribs.
Nope, nope, nope.
Don't look at me. Unlock the car, was what I heard. And my body froze for what I felt like an hour, but was really only a second while I processed what was happening.
Oh my God.
Unlock the car, he said again. I was still holding my keys and briefly considered dropping them and kicking them under the car or chucking them into the next row of parking spaces, but the pressure against my ribs made me think twice about it. And I decided complying was the safest option. I think you made the right choice, but I don't even know what the right choice is in that situation.
Neither do I.
I prayed that my car would cooperate with me this time, but as I tried to unlock the door, I found that shaky hands didn't help my cantankerous lock and key combo. I almost forgot the gunman behind me as I fought with my car. And when I heard him say, I said, unlock the car, I hissed back, I am trying.
Amazing.
But a prod of my gun, of the gun, quickly returned me to my fearful weakness.
Oh.
I finally got the car open again, and I expected him to take the keys and go. So I was shocked when I heard him say, get in the car.
No, thank you.
No. Nope. Don't get in the car.
I'd be like, I was actually just in it. You take it.
Nope. You got it. It's all yours.
You want it? I didn't want it anymore.
Cover your eyes and go, I don't see you. Get right in the car.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, cover your eyes, toss the keys and say, hey, take it.
It's all yours.
Take it. I gotta go grocery shopping.
I can't imagine being in this situation.
No.
I really can't.
Nope.
Again, choosing to comply, thinking I'll figure out a plan later, I crawled in and he told me to slide over the center console into the passenger seat.
Oh, God.
All the while holding the gun pressed against my side.
That's so scary. I don't think I've ever even seen a gun in real life.
Really?
Other than like on a policeman's hip.
Wow, that's wild. They're scary.
That's the thing. Like, I feel like
they're very scary.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. Like, whether you're for or against, I feel like they're just a scary thing to behold.
Yeah. It's like, it could kill you. Yeah. That's like literal second.
Yeah.
I did what he told me.
I did what he told me, but started churning over options about how I was going to get out of this mess. He slid into the driver's seat, calmly grabbed the keys I left in the driver's side door lock, and started the car. Don't look at me. I'm not going to hurt you.
Okie dokie.
The gun tells me a different story. I was thinking as we left the parking lot together.
Honestly.
Now, this asshole never took his gun off my ribs while we drove, and he never stopped talking, constantly telling me in various ways that I can't look at him, but he didn't mean any harm.
That's also, I can't, like, if you tell me I can't do something, I have to do it.
I'd be freaking out.
I have to.
Yeah. I had to bite my tongue to stop from yelling at him to just stop with his blathering while I was doing my best to formulate my escape. As I was deliberately facing away from him and he was hopefully concentrating on driving one-handed, I started trying to signal my distress to the drivers and pedestrians as we were passing, but I was unsuccessful. I considered whether my pocket knife was in a handy place to grab, but remembered that I had used it to open packages at work, and it was still in my pocket of my work shirt, currently at the bottom of the gym bag.
Oh.
Damn. I wanted to call 911 so the dispatcher could listen to what was going on and possibly track my phone, But I was afraid that he would hear the dispatcher attempting to talk to me, so that was out. That's the thing. In those situations, you're like, oh, here's a good idea. But you're like, what if he knows? What if he finds out? And what if he gets angry? And
right.
Sneaking a picture for future identification also flashed through my mind, but my 2006 cell phone refused to not make the obnoxious shutter close sound effect. So that was out as well.
Yep.
I wasn't wearing a seatbelt, so I figured my best bet would be just opening the door and combat rolling out. Road rash and broken bones beats getting raped or shot in my book.
Yep.
This fucker broke into my musings by telling me to give him all the money I had. I slowly reached into my bag and pulled out my wallet. I currently had about $50 in cash, along with the check that started this whole shebang. I pulled out $25 and handed it over, because fuck this guy. He doesn't get everything I've got. Is that all of it? He asked. Yes. That's all you have? I said, give me everything, with another shove of his gun. That's all I've got, I swear. I lied, thinking to myself, what did he expect from a young chick driving a 16-year-old car in dirty gym clothes? The damn crown jewels? Seemingly satisfied, sucker. He continued driving and began repeating his, I'm not going to hurt you, shit.
I'd be like, then what the fuck are we doing?
I'd be like, then can we stop? As I was wondering just how long I was going to be in his company and just what his ultimate plan was, he pulled up to an empty lot in a neighborhood not too far from my own and told me to get out of the car. Stay there and don't look at me as I leave, he tells me.
Okie doke.
As I grab my gym bag, this asshole isn't getting any more of my belongings if I can help it, and jump out of my car. He drives off as soon as I'm out, and I just fell to my knees to take a deep breath and try to hold it together because I still have shit to do before I can fall apart.
Oh my goodness.
You're amazing, because I would probably just fall apart.
Seriously.
I called my dad, who lived in a neighboring city, to ask him to meet me at my house because I'd been carjacked and couldn't stay home alone after what happened. He started to freak out, but I told him I needed to call 911 and can he just start heading to my house? Thanks, bye.
Oh my God.
If as a parent, I can't even fathom
no.
I then call 911 and explain my situation and where I was. The dispatcher tells me that she's notified police and they will be with me soon. But in the meantime, can I tell her which way the suspect drove after letting me out of the car? I tell her he drove north on X Street. She tells me X Street runs east/west. Did he go east or west?
I would shit myself at that point and say he went left, Nancy.
Yeah, I have no idea, Susie, okay?
Like, what the fuck is east, west, north? I don't even, this, does the sun rise in the east? Who knows?
Look at this bad bitch. I took a second to get my bearings. I was in shock after all, but replied, the street runs north, south, and he drove north. Good for you.
You know, they actually asked me one time, I needed like AAA on the highway, and they were like, are you northbound or southbound? And I said one of the two that I thought I was going. And the guy was late, and I was like, why the fuck is he late? So I called, he was on the other side of the highway.
Oh, man.
But then he got there, and he's so nice. Shout out to AAA.
Shout out to AAA.
I've always had great experiences. Killed it.
Good job, Michael.
Thank you.
He tells me again that the street runs east-west, and I start getting pissed. I am currently standing on X Street, and I assure you it runs north, south, and he drove north. She started to argue with me again as the police car drove up, so I hung up on her and started to explain everything again to the very kind officer.
You're also like, hi, I've just been carjacked. Can you not fucking argue with me?
He made sure that I was uninjured before asking me several questions regarding the incident, looking at the muzzle stamp on my t-shirt, and checked that I didn't have any underlying bruising, and then asked me which way the carjacker went. There was that thunder. I don't know if you heard it. Tired of arguing about cardinal directions, I just pointed in the direction. Not going to lie, I've got some petty glee when he got on the radio to announce that the suspect, and I quote, drove north on X Street.
Motherfucker!
You were right. He then asked me if I had somewhere safe to stay, and I told him my dad was going to meet me at my house. He had me get in the passenger seat of his cruiser and drove me home.
Nice.
As he pulled into the driveway, my dog popped his head up in the window, and the cop asked, is that your dog? He looks like Scooby-Doo.
He does look like Scooby-Doo.
I've attached a photo of him, so you can judge for yourself. We say yes. It really broke the tension, and I started laugh crying in my hysteria. Since I didn't have my keys, I had to clamber through the dog door to let the cop in. I don't know how y'all feel about dog doors, but my dogs have proven themselves to be very protective, and I frequently work very long days at my job, and I can't afford to hire someone to let them out midday. I've never had a dog door.
I don't love a dog door.
They scare me, but, you know, do you?
Yeah.
While giving a more thorough statement to my officer, my dad arrived and the PD found my car. The moron had ripped off the radio plate. He didn't steal the radio, just the faceplate. What a fucking amateur.
Also, what a dick.
Oh, and he stole a book of CDs.
Oh, late. That's what he needed?
That's happened to my friends before when we were in high school. That fucking book of CDs, it was like, was a crown jewel.
Yeah.
When somebody would steal it, it was like, everything was gone.
Well, I'm thinking about it now, like going through those books of CDs, you know?
But luckily left my keys in the ignition, so at least I didn't have to worry about changing my locks. I finished giving my statement, loaded my cats and dogs into my dad's car, because despite having my keys back, I still wasn't going to spend the night alone.
No way.
Once at my parents' house, I then had the joy of telling my frantic mother what had happened. She loves drama and listened to my tale like I was a character on one of her soaps, hence the snarky tone.
Honestly, that's
and then calling my husband and letting him know. He was distressed for me and wished he could come home, but he's the best, because he's the best, but unfortunately he needed to keep his job.
Oh.
Before attempting to get some sleep. It didn't happen, but at least I was done talking about it for the next 8 to 10 hours. The next day, nearly done, I swear, this part lightens the mood, so I thought you'd enjoy it. I got up early in the morning and called my supervisor. I told him that I was, quote, having car trouble.
You were
lying. And was going to be late for work. My dad drove me home to drop off the animals and then to the rental agency so I could get a car to drive until my car was sprung out of the evidence lot. When I got into work, my supervisor asked if I got my car working. I told him I had to get a rental, and he replied, oh man, that's the worst. I chuckled and got to work.
You're like, yeah, you don't even know.
So, yeah, certainly is the worst. I was struggling mentally and having trouble keeping up my everything's fine mask, so I knew I would have to clue in my coworkers to see so if I needed a mental break, they would understand. Luckily, we had a staff meeting scheduled for that afternoon, so I figured it would be a great way to tell everyone all at once. My bosses finish up the main portion of the meeting and ask if anyone has anything they want to add. I raise my hand. Remember, I'm currently on day 5 of this job.
Oh no, I forgot about that.
And tell everyone. I wanted to let everyone know that I was carjacked at gunpoint yesterday, so if I need to walk away to collect myself, that's why.
I'm screaming.
Everyone,
they're like, okay, new girl.
Everyone just stared, and I wished I could melt into the floor. I don't like being the center of attention in the best circumstances, and I really hate being pitied, so this was a nightmare. My boss finally called for the end of the meeting, and everyone wandered off back to work. Later, I overheard my supervisor talking to one of the bosses saying, quote, she just told me she was having car trouble.
She was, okay.
She was. P.S. I did make that job my career, and I've since been promoted to a team leader. Good for you.
You showed up to work the day after being carjacked at gunpoint.
You deserved that. I make sure all my coworkers know that I'm always available to talk or listen if they're struggling with anything.
I love you.
I had to fight hard to build this culture at work, including one of my now ex-coworkers threatening to show up at my home with a gun.
Jesus, what is up with people?
Yeah. Yes, she was at the staff meeting mentioned above, but she was also a massive see you next Tuesday.
Yeah, she was a coont.
P.P.S. Ironically, I had been in intensive therapy for 18 months prior to getting carjacked. Anxiety disorder, childhood BS that fucked me up, and PTSD from being sexually assaulted in high school.
I'm so sorry
you went through that. But my therapist had moved out of state a month before this event. This meant that I was actually in the best mental state of my entire life when this bastard abducted me. I think this is why I was able to keep a clear head and make plans instead of just having an anxiety attack and falling apart. I agree. And she says, please look into therapy if you have past traumas and or mental health issues, because you never know what life is going to throw at you, and it's best to be ready to face it head on.
True.
Sorry for the length, but I hope you enjoyed my story. It took me a long time to work up the courage to put it to paper and find the humor in it. Keep it weird.
That was wild.
What
are you guys
a story,
all right?
Betsy.
My goodness gracious, y'all.
Your dog is such a smushy baby,
and
too.
And he does look like Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Where are you? He's right there.
Found him.
He's in your house.
He's got some work to do, though.
He does have some work to do. And he's doing it.
He's doing it well. So many songs, so many tales. What a great time.
And with that, because the thunder is about to probably turn off our power for us.
Don't ever fucking manifest things like that.
Well, I mean, you hear it.
No, I do.
It's coming down out there.
I know, I'm scared.
We're going to head out after that. And thank you for ending it on like a Scooby-Doo moment.
Yeah, we needed that.
That was nice.
Those were intense, guys.
Those were harrowing. All of them were harrowing.
Harrowing.
Every single one. Like, different levels of harrowing.
Yeah. I'm going to go have a wine night with my friends now.
And I'm going to have dinner. So thanks for sending these in. Make sure that you keep sending them in because we love them. They're amazing. They're terrifying. They're funny. They're heartwarming. They're everything we could ever ask for. Make sure you title Listener Tale and whatever your heart desires to title it.
And send to morbidpodcast@gmail.com.
Do it.
Hope you keep listening.
And we hope you
keep
it.
Weird. But that's weird that you move to New Hampshire and then the guy shows up at your house and he doesn't fix your car. He actually does everything but fix your car, and I'm really scared for you and I hope everything works out. Definitely not so weird that you hire Bob to fix your fence, because we all know how that's going to turn out. Do keep it so weird that your grandpa has a wild tale to tell you about the time he made music with potentially Charlie fucking Manson? Whoa. And do keep it so weird that your dog looks like Scooby-Doo and you can keep your shit together while you're being fucking carjacked and then you go to work the next day and then you're a mental health advocate. You guys are fucking awesome.
Rock stars.
Rock on.
If you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey. Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run dark. In this new crime thriller, religion and crime collide when this small Montana community is rocked by a gruesome murder. As the town is whipped into a frenzy, everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager. But local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Lauro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. She and Ruth form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone's watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy Award nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook plunges listeners into the dark underbelly of a small town where the lines between truth and deception are blurred, and even the most devout are not who they seem. Chinook is available to listen to now exclusively with your Wondery Plus subscription. You can subscribe to Wondery Plus on the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.